So, imagine you are sitting in a prison, knowing that soon, whether today, tomorrow, or in a week, you will be brought to the court and executed. You hear voices outside of your cell shouting, and you're positive that they're shouting for your death. Justice has triumphed. Your crimes that you've committed, your sins, have finally caught up to you. You're let out, and then you're released. You were justly put in prison, and you were ready to die. But you were pardoned. You then learn that somebody died instead of you. Someone cleansed you of your wrong. And this someone was someone who was not deserving of death and who no sin was found in him. There's a similar story in this, and we're going to spend some time looking at it. It's in all four Gospels, and it's the story of Barabbas and how Jesus took the place of where Barabbas was supposed to be. And so starting in Matthew 27, verses 15 through 26. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person, who you see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So we're going to look at three more passages, which are the same story, but next is Mark 15, 16 through 15. So this is another story, but from a different sort of angle. In Mark 15, 6 through 15, starting on verse 6. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels, because they had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he has always done for them. But Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. So the next passage is Luke 23, 13 through 25. Luke 23, 13 through 25. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it is necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So the final passage is John 18, 38 through 40. But you have a custom, and this is in context, that Jesus is being tried, and Pilate finds no fault in him. But then Pilate continues saying, But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So how does this compare to us? Well, it's pretty easy to see because Barabbas, now we may not be murderers or robbers, but any sin or crime is still a sin, whether it's just worthy of death to God. Now, how would you feel now when Barabbas, who was probably one of the worst men, he was a murderer, he was a robber, he was a leader of a gang, he was saved by Jesus. I have my heading for this section is, Jesus takes the place of Barnabas. Jesus takes the place of Barabbas. So the story is similar to the story I mentioned before, in that Jesus saved someone who was worthy of death, who knows they've sinned, done something wrong, is caught up. And as I was saying, we are Barabbas, waiting to be killed, executed for the sins we committed. But Jesus has taken our place for a sin he didn't commit, and he has laid the burden of our sin on his back. We should be where he is, but we're not. And that is a sacrifice that we are about to partake of in memory of his death. Let's partake of the bread.